Oh, yes. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Always giving you what exactly? Everything that you want. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
You guys are listening to Carolyn and Joe! Carolyn and Joe Show. Listen, world, my name is Joe Carabay. I'm a filmmaker, photographer, a writer, and I'm definitely in the band Monday Mistress. But today, sir, miss, you, and everyone out there listening on their headphone speakers, today, I'm a podcaster, and I'm joined by one of the greatest people I've ever known in my whole entire life, the most universally superly talented, the person that makes the world smile one comic strip at a time. Her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
Hi, I'm doing great. I thought that you were going to introduce me as a certified G.
Certified G.
And a bona fide babe.
Bona fide babe. That's right. She's a certified G. Bona fide babe. Her name is Carolyn Bilewski. How you doing, Carolyn?
How you doing?
How you doing?
All right. I'm doing good.
Getting right into it.
Getting right into it because I'm saying that, like, this, I don't know for sure, because Awesome Con is this coming Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Well, just so everyone knows, we're going to have a double dose of podcasts this week so you guys can get pumped up for Awesome Con. We're going to have one right now.
Okay, one right
maybe,
now.
And then maybe one later.
One later in the week. Okay, because yeah. I wasn't sure if we were going to be able to fit in one later in the week, but let's just say we are.
We will.
We will. We will for you, for the fans.
When we say it, we'll do it. That's what it is. When you say you're going to do something, you do it.
So two shows this week leading up to Awesome Con. And just another reminder, you guys, Awesome Con is this Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the DC Convention Center. So that's June 3rd, 4th, and 5th. Can you believe it's already June almost? Jeez, it's going to be June. And also, we are going to be exhibiting there.
We got some updates, right?
At table N5.
So last podcast, we laid it down again. This time where we're rocking to Dark Necessities with the Red Hot Chili Peppers album coming out on June 14th, I think.
All right, so this is what you need to know about Awesome Con, because I don't expect, honestly, the schedule to change, but it might. I always know with these shows, everything changes like up to the minute sometimes. So just pay attention also to what Awesome Con is putting out on their schedule, and also stay tuned to our blogs and the show, and we'll try to keep you with the most updated information. But right now, our table number is N5.
N5.
N5, yes.
Across from the...
We're right near the Kids Love Comics section.
Cool, so if you're
also
the Kids
called
Love...
called the K-Zone.
In the K-Zone, Kids Love Comics area, you will definitely see us.
Yes.
You'll see a giant fish.
And not only that... Bluefish. We have several panels that we are taking part in, so let's do a little run through, and we'll go from here to the news segment, because this is news and this is gonna lead the show. So first of all, live Carolyn and Joe Show podcast. This is the show that you're listening to this very moment. We're gonna do a live version of the Carolyn and Joe Show with our special guest Phil Lamar.
And I know you guys know, who've listened to us throughout the almost over 4 years, that we have a mixture of our friends, a mixture of celebrity guests, and a mixture of us critiquing the world. But whenever we do this podcast live at conventions like we do, it's a special occasion. It's something when we take this energy out to the people, you know, it's beyond what a panel can be. This is sort of like, you know, the energy of a conversation. It's like a conversation with hundreds of people, with us leading the charge, leading the army.
Yeah, so that's this Friday from 6 to 7 p.m. in room 150 in the DC Convention Center. And also, you know, freaking Phil Lamar, who is somebody that I have seen for a while now on TV. I think my first exposure to him was on Mad TV. And I remember seeing him on Pulp Fiction, and then we also saw him live at the Pee Wee Herman stage show in L.A.
He's
been in my life forever, so it's great. I've already talked to him at a past Awesome Con, so it's just great to actually be able to record it, to have him on the show, and he's a really cool
guy.
And
just so you know, that it's not a fluke, and we're not just, like, you know, pulling the rug or whatever. Phil Lamar actually, he has posted and shared the event page of the Carolyn Joe Show Carolyn
podcast,
Joe Show podcast
live podcast
event that he's going to be part of. Just so you guys know, again, it's everyone is welcome to this. Everyone should go and have a good time, and just you'll learn. You'll be able to experience how it is to be in this awesome world of just having a great conversation. And it's never going to be a normal conversation with us, Carolyn. That's the difference. It's never a normal conversation when it's a Carolyn Joe Show, and whoever it is, first of all, every guest is always important to us. And we're not just having these guests just to, you know, just to have content. This is passion to us, and this is, these are people that we'd really love to talk to. And you know what's interesting is we don't ask those typical questions. We ask the stuff that really, you know, and we're not being Howard Stern, you know, we're not doing that, we're not trying to be shock jocks, you know what I mean, but we're trying to trying to have some fun, trying to give you that next level of conversation.
Yeah, and it's going to be really exciting because we go places that no one else has gone before. It would be great. So, also,
do we have a rating? Did they give us a rating?
They did. PG-13.
All right. So close to getting that R.
I don't think, you know, AwesomeCon is hitting that R.
All right, that's good.
I think that's a good thing. You got to keep it a family show.
Phil Lamar is getting PG-13, man.
Yes. So, also, here's some other panels and events that we're taking charge of. I'm going to be moderating Will Fredel and Gray DeList. She does voice acting, and Will Fredel does voice acting, and he was on Boy Meets World, and he was the voice of Terry McGinnis on Batman Beyond.
From what I've seen, both those guests, I mean, we all know, we've talked about it, like, continuously, about how awesome Will Fredel is.
Yes.
You know? And then, yes. And also, I heard Gray is also pretty awesome, too, so you're gonna have an amazing time up there.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. So that is on Saturday, June 4th. From 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., room 150. Rated G, so everyone can come to that. Joe, you are going to be doing something amazing with Summer.
That's Summer Glau.
Summer Glau Q&A. This is on this Saturday, June the 4th, from 1:45 to 2:45 p.m. in room 146, and that is rated G.
Rated G, so I gotta be prepared. I've actually been promoting this as it's like a one-on-one, like it's almost like a mental mind battle. Who has the stronger mind?
And I think she might be able to kill you with her mind.
She might be able to kill me with her brain, and I'm ready for that battle. I'm looking forward to making this conversation, this Q&A different, because you know, like I'd like it to be always something memorable for each one of the people that I'm working with up there, and. You know, hopefully it's something different that she's experienced that's memorable for her that she can remember.
Yeah.
Know?
So all you guys that are big time fans of Firefly, you got to come on down to AwesomeCon to see Summer.
Yeah. Not only that, like Sarah Connor Chronicles. She was also on Arrow, you know?
Yeah. So she's been a working actress, and that's pretty, pretty amazing. So also on this Saturday, when I go from Will Fredel, I'm going to be going directly into how to break into comics and survive. That's directly after Will Fredel's panel and Gray's panel. So this is this Saturday at 12:30 to 1:30 p.m. Oh my goodness, in room 144.
So basically from that time, we're going to be just away from each other.
Are we actually overlapping?
Probably.
Yeah, we are. You know, I'm going to have to figure out what to do during that. But yes, we are. All going crazy. So this is all about how to break into comics and survive, and it's going to have a lot of really cool comics people. A couple of people I haven't met yet, but I've heard of their names. Brian Tillman, Amy Reeder, and Justin Jordan, and myself. And it's going to be moderated by Heidi McDonald of The Beat. She is an excellent comics journalist. So the write-up here says, "Comics!" Exclamation mark. It seems like a glamorous life. But what are the nitty-gritty secrets of staying in the business? Everyone wants to know how to break into comics. There are many paths to get there and many ways to stay in. Our panel of artists and writers talk about developing as artists, branching into other fields, and the rest of the skills needed to maintain a career. So that should be interesting. And also, on Saturday, man, I'm going to be tired at this point, but I hope not. But yes, so I'm going to be doing Create Your Own Superhero Symbol at the Kids Zone from 4 to 4:45. That should be really exciting.
So you have a good 3 to 4 hour break there.
But I'm still going to be at the table.
That's true. You've been hustling.
Going to be hustling. But yes, that'll be right near where we are in the K Zone. So this is a really exciting panel. I've done it many times before at AwesomeCon and at Baltimore.
Is it a panel or is it a workshop?
You're right. It is a workshop. I stand corrected. I sit corrected. It is a workshop, and it's really cool because it's mostly geared toward kids, but a lot of times the parents can join in. I mean, I'm not going to put an age limit on this, although it's probably rated G if it's in the kids zone. But you know what? it's really fun because adults join in and the kids are there. And what we do is we create, we learn a little bit about design and create our own superhero symbol. Or if you're into My Little Pony, there's also like cutie marks. So you're basically designing a little logo for yourself and making a little superhero for yourself. So that would be really amazing. And the kids always come up with such great ideas. And so I really enjoy doing that panel. Then I think I'm done for that day on Saturday, but you are not done, sir. You are
not done.
You have on this coming Saturday, June. Let's say June. June 4th. At 8:15 to 9:15 p.m. in the nighttime, in room 149, you have a panel called "Awesome Filmmakers Making It Happen."
That's right. That's going to be another one. I spoke about this on Kevin Sampson's podcast on the Picture Lock show. We're going to have Jay Jameson, Drew Boldick, Otessa Goddar. We're going to have Kevin Sampson and Kuni Oi.
Sweet.
It's going to be great. If you guys ever
want, PG-13.
PG-13.
So keep it that way.
Yes. Filmmakers panel. This is the panel. This for all you filmmakers out there. This is definitely the panel for you. Find out pretty much, you know, the realities of doing this for a living. That's what it is.
Yes. And then on Sunday, we are hosting our very own creation called The Other Side of the Table, Lessons from Creators. And this is, did I say it was Saturday? It's Sunday. Did I say it was Sunday?
Sunday.
Well, it's still Sunday. Yes.
Yeah, this is Sunday.
This Sunday, June 5th, from 12:30 p.m. to 1:15 p.m. in room 149. This is The Other Side The Other Side of the Table, Lessons from Creators. And we're going to be talking about all what it's like to actually have a table at comic shows.
And this is great because it's, you know, your other panel was about
staying
in the business, being the business. This is basically about the touring aspect, about the reality, again, of going from convention, you know, how to treat each thing differently, all that life. The life of a touring comic book creator or a touring convention person.
And also, we're discussing the metamorphosis from attendee to exhibitor. Because a lot of people always come up to me and be like, how do you do this? How do you do this? And I'm always like, dude, check out my panel.
Yeah. And then at the end of the day.
And the panelists also have Brian Turner and Don Griffin I asked to attend. So that should be really exciting. And we've done this panel before at New York Comic Con. You can actually look it up on YouTube. There's a lot of helpful hints on there and really great panelists that we've had before. So I always like to mix it up and get some different panelists at each event. So check that out. Again, it's The Other Side of the Table, Lessons from Creators. And also on Sunday, it looks like you're doing something else on Sunday.
Sunday at 4:30 to 5:30, I'm also moderating the panel for Jeremy London. Jeremy London, if you guys remember him, he was in the movie Mallrats. He was the main guy in Mallrats, which is name. I'm bad at names, but then names always escape me at this point. But
you're
he was also
to think of his character name
because like for some reason I keep on saying Tess, but it's not Tess.
Is it Dante?
No, it's not Dante.
I keep thinking of Dante, but I don't know. Like
I think it might be TJ. I forget what it is, man.
We'll
and I love
it out.
Mallrats though. It's like a Kevin Smith weekend, really.
Yeah.
But Jeremy London, he was also in Party of Five. He was in a lot of great stuff.
Was he in Seventh Heaven?
Yeah, he was also in Seventh Heaven, so he was all over that stuff. So I'm really intrigued because this is like the wild card. Panel that I have to moderate because I really don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in any other panels, but this one is such a wild card because I really feel like anything can happen legit that's nothing planned. I have nothing planned going into this other than let's see what happens.
Yeah.
All the other ones, I sort of have a game plan, but this one, it's sort of like it's going to be pure improv.
And that would be good.
I hope
it'll give a good vibe.
Yeah. Maybe I'll have a plan, you know, by the next podcast.
You can't really plan what goes on in like a lot of these panels. For example, like I've had panels that I've organized where like I guess it's really busy in the convention and somebody comes like 10 minutes late. Not because like they wanted to, but it's just like I guess things got out of hand. They weren't looking at their watch or something and then they like are coming running into the platform, you know? So and we've had, you know, but usually, you know, you're supposed to come like 15 minutes before your event. So but you know, at New York or something, things can get a little busy or you get lost or the crowds are pretty crazy.
At this point, I usually just leave 30 minutes before like the panel is supposed to start.
Yeah.
And maybe it'll take me 15 minutes to get over there, but I'm just like,
you gotta be there.
At least for me, for each one of these, each time I moderate anything, especially if it's involving like a big room and a lot of, you know, like, and they have a lot of notoriety.
Yeah.
To me, in a way, it's a performance that I'm now having to you know, get my mind into. One, it's, you know, I don't know these people personally. This is the first time I'm ever working with them. And, you know, to make it in the harshest sense, I don't want to be up there and being like a jabroni Mark. I want to still make this like memorable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I have to get like into that mindset. I mean, and it's weird.
You got to be a pro, you know, you got to use your interview skills that you've already have.
And yeah, that's the one that, you know, that's really incredible for me because I really enjoy interviewing people. That's why I was always a big fan of like Interview Magazine. But since growing up, I don't know, I really love the gift of gab. I really love the art of the conversation. And mm-hmm. that's why we have this podcast. That's why, you know, it's like you have 50 minutes to pull up time and to 50 minutes to fill with conversation. I love the chaos of that, of like, okay, don't rush it. You know what I mean? What are you going to talk about? What's the spontaneity? You know, what will happen? I don't know. I love it. I love it, but I have to get into the mindset.
This is all coming up in a few days, so it should be very exciting. I mean, AwesomeCon, I feel like it's going to be a big show this year because I heard VIP tickets already have sold out. So that gives me a lot of good hope. I feel like the whole show is going to sell out for some reason. Like, I just feel like it's just going to be packed.
I think it should be. I feel good at this point, like a week away. I feel really good about this show. Who knows? Maybe we'll meet some new friends, have some new acquaintances, some people look at our work, and I don't know, it seems like a, you know, it's something to be excited. I'm excited and nervous about it at the same time.
Don't be nervous. You got it.
I'm always nervous, though.
Really?
Yeah, I'm always nervous about when I have to, about before having to, you know, step up. There's always a nerve that happens.
I guess it's good to have that, though. Because, you know, how so much things online is all about, like, be fearless, you know, that type of attitude. It's and tough. In reality, they were like, well, you should never really be fearless because that means that you would die. Because humans have like an innate fear factor going into it. Like if a car is coming at you or something, like you're not just going to stand there and be like, I'm fearless, hit me, you know, but like humans have like a reaction where like, you know, maybe that's a physical reaction, but usually humans, like they want to survive. That's what survival's all about. And if you have fear, then it gives you a better survival instinct than just to be like, oh, come on, hit me. I can live forever. I'm fearless. You know, like
I feel like at this point, I do have that fearlessness, but it really is more about the nerves. I'm not afraid to go up on stage.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not afraid, you know, being afraid is not the word that I would put myself into when it comes down to these situations. It's really just the,
you just I want it to go good. Well. Yeah.
I want it to go great. And it's all up to, you know, it's not all up to me, but it's like the percentage that I have to put in is still important. And I like that. I like being at that sort of like ground zero element of it went bad because of you, Joe, you know?
Oh, gosh.
And that's exciting too, because you have a bit of importance. Because really when it comes down to it, when you're in these panels, when you're moderating,
mm-hmm.
It's not like you really don't have a net. You really don't have a net because you have a volunteer that's there for like the technical stuff and to give you the countdown.
Yeah.
But other than that, you start the show, you end the show, you drive the show where it needs to go. It depends on also like the guests too. Sometimes they like to drive, so you just let them drive, and because if they're used to doing that. But when it comes to when it is like, you know, I mean, that's the thing you have to gauge, like when doing this moderating stuff, you got to gauge.
But if it's a Q&A though, you got to take some audience questions too. I feel like you can't just take over the mic.
No, but it's true. But here's the thing. What if there's no questions? So you have to find that right point of, I feel like there's that art where you have to find the right point to start the conversation and then make people want to ask questions. Because it's not like a Kevin Smith thing a lot of times, I feel like.
Mm-hmm.
Because also there's this thing where also if it's a Q&A, I mean, I was thinking about doing this too with Summer and Jeremy, where I would have the event page where people actually go to the event page now and I'll take,
deposit their questions.
Yeah, they can deposit their questions and then I can intertwine that in the conversation.
Yeah.
Because like a lot of times, you know, that's the worst thing. It's like Q&A and there's no one asking questions. You know what I mean? And then if you're not prepared for that, because I feel like there's certain people that will have lots and lots of questions.
Mm-hmm.
And there's certain people like Kevin Smith will always have a million questions. But you just got to be prepared for no questions.
Yeah.
You know, like Kevin Smith is already a known commodity in the talk. He has a night with Kevin Smith Friday night at Awesome Con.
Well, his is actually a ticketed event.
It's a ticketed event. It's a seriously ticketed event.
I want to do that intro. On top of a ticket.
I want to do that intro. I want to intro Kevin Smith. I want to see if I can intro Kevin Smith.
Is that on during the time that we're with Phil Lamar?
Is that what his starts at 7, I think?
Ours ends at 7.
At 7? I don't know if I can do it then. I'll just jump on there. But still, it's such a great opportunity and responsibility. I cherish responsibility. Maybe that's why.
Like, yeah, I want things just to go good, you know, like just to be like, oh, that wasn't horrible. Like that was flowing and that was a good conversation. Everyone has a warm feeling in their heart. Because I've been at panels where you just feel really good, like as a participant and as an arranger of a panel where it's like, especially when it ends and you're just like, oh, and like everyone's like, oh, we got to get out of the room.
That's really what I want. I want to have that. Like that's the goal, is to be like, and to create a moment, because, you know, like growing up or like, you know, when the convention started, to me, it was all about being, you know, you have the convention side, but then you also have the panels. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoyed, and this came from like even Chasing Amy. It was like, I was like, man, I want to be on a panel. I want to be a guest on a panel. And I've yet to be a guest on a panel. I'm always moderating the shit. God. And it's like all this time now I'm just, you know, I just skipped ahead. And now I'm just moderating. But like,
do you want me to moderate other side of the
table? No, it'll be a panelist. It'll be nice if I, you know, that's different. It'd be nice if it was out of nowhere, you know. It's like,
you want to be like straight up invited to be like, Joe's knowledgeable in this, but I feel like you're a filmmaker.
I would like it to be a Q&A
hey,
with
actually,
Joe.
You know what?
I would like to be a Q&A with Joe.
Wasn't the wrestling panel? You were a panelist.
Which one?
A few years ago, there was like a wrestling.
No, panel. I was the moderator.
Oh,
that.
You're moderator.
I was the one who started.
Dude,
that.
Dude, you always moderate.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. I'm amazing. So I'm an amazing host.
You want to be a panelist?
It'd be nice.
What are your goals?
That'd be great if someone's just like
life goals.
If someone's like, hey, we want you on the panel for the host for a panel of hosting.
How to host panel. Your panel?
I don't know. I've always grown up as one of those. I guess in the situation of, it's not going to happen unless you make it happen.
Oh, but so. You had a run in on the podcast panel last year.
Which one?
The podcast Pop Goes the Podcast.
Oh, yeah, that's right, but still it wasn't part of that.
Because you were busy hosting.
Yeah. Oh, wow, that's... It'd be cool if I was...
Hey,
just...
you know what? At least this year's Awesome Con, we don't have to, like, run out to a wedding.
I mean, there's a potential. There's a potential. There's always that potential.
But we will be doing that at another future convention this fall.
But I'm always... you know, that's just the nerves to me, is you want it to go well, and it's also like, I don't know what's going to happen, so I got to mentally prepare for everything. You know, and also I try to do so many. I try to like record and I try to have interact and connect. And, you know, even though it's just a lot of times, it's just, you know, the guest, they're the main guest.
Yeah, they're the star.
But I still look at it as if I'm like Conan or if I'm like one of those guys, you know, you feed them the stuff to get them over.
Mm-hmm.
If that makes sense. I feel like that's what makes a good host. It's like, you still want, because the audience wants to get the most out of their guests. They want to hear everything they came there to see. And it's sort of like, I feel like I got to drive that sometimes.
Well, one thing I was like already, I don't know why I keep thinking about this, because I don't want to ask this question, but in my head, like, you know how people are really big fans of shows and they love the characters and they want to see the characters like all hang out with each other, but they don't realize that like they are working on a set and like they might be friends. That would be that's cool, but they might also not be friends and they might just be coworkers. And then I was like thinking about it, like I always hear people like on every panel that I've seen, like on YouTube and stuff. If I watch like South by or like what's that TV one where they reunited Buffy, the Paley Center.
Paley Center, yeah.
Yeah, like all those types of panels. There's always like a question from the audience that's like, oh, how often do you hang out with these people from like a show that you'd worked on 10 years ago? Yeah. And then like the answer is always like, oh, not really, but you know, occasionally I'll bump into them. But that's like usually the answer. But then I was thinking about it like to me, because I've worked at like 5 or 6 different places in my life, and like I do keep in touch with some of my coworkers, but I don't hang out with them, and it's not like because I don't want to or there's not any like straight up reason, but it's just like I've moved on with my life, and sometimes you're at work and you're not like hanging out with them. But I feel like a lot of fans though, they get get really excited and they want to see, you know, that character with another character, and they want to know that they like always hang out with them. And I just think that's funny. Like, I get it from like a fan point of view. Yeah. It's like, oh, you want these characters to like be BFFs forever.
Be real, yeah.
And like, but then, you know, in reality, it's like, it's a job, you know? So like, I feel like, and I'm not trying to dismiss that fantasy or like that friendship, but really when it comes down to it, everyone's like moving on with their life and they have other opportunities and other things going on. So, I mean, it's just like a regular job that anyone else would have. Like, I don't really keep in touch with some of my past coworkers. And if I do, like, we might go out for dinner like a couple times a year. It's not like I call them up and see them all the time, you know? We're not, unfortunately, not BFFs, but, you know, I feel like that's how it's like with a lot of working actors too.
I mean, they're working actors, so I feel like it's always going to be a hustle.
Yeah.
There's always a constant hustle. And that's how you really know who your real friends are, too.
That is true. Well, also, I feel like there are, I guess if you want to call them, like, Hollywood BFFs, because for, like, I know that Drew Barrymore is, like, pretty good friends with Cameron Diaz. So they all got together for Charlie's Angels, and then, you know... So they I feel like they try to work with each other when they can. So
I think it's always interesting too, because the actor lifestyle in a way is just like
hurry up and wait.
Well, you're also really dependent on people choosing you. Yeah. And then once you're chosen, you're just thrown into this group, like hopefully you guys get along.
Yeah, that's you know true. What I mean? Well, then there's also like the whole Epitel crowd, and I feel like they work together a lot with Judd connecting everybody and Seth Rogen and James Franco. So I feel like they have a good working relationship, but I don't know how often they like call each other or anything, you know, like who knows. But I feel like people want everybody to be like really friendly, which is a healthy thing, and it's really nice and warm feeling. But I just feel like no one really actually does that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're not really best friends forever just because they play a character.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, sometimes it works out.
Do you have like questions in mind for your panel that like you're really, you know, you're amping up, or do you have an angle that you're trying to take?
I have,
because you have to handle two people at the same time. I don't have to do that. Well, I guess I have to handle five at one at
yeah,
most.
But they're at separate times.
No, at the same time I have to handle five.
Oh yeah, but that's
a different type of panel. Yeah.
Yeah, I want to make sure that everyone gets like equal billing, and I want to make sure that we hit on a lot of the shows that I want to know about, you know, like it's just,
are you going to go in like as like a fan, like you're like, are you gonna just assume?
I don't want to.
But you know what I mean, are you gonna just act like everyone already knows what you want to do, or do you, are you gonna have them sort of like break down, like, you know, like from the beginning, you know?
I mean, I might hit on that at least to start out, and then just dive into like a deeper question, because I don't want it to just be like an IMDb review or something. I'm like, yeah, you can look that up on your own.
See, that's the tough part. It's just like, you don't want to hit those same things. Like for me, whenever I've done my research, I use that as like a launching point. It's like, oh, I've seen that you're not like this, but we've seen you on the show. Let's dig deeper into that statistic or something like that.
Yeah.
I like to do a lot of like, how do you feel? Or where did this... You know, what was your mindset, or where were we taking? I don't know, something that's not a yes or no or something. I don't know. It's, I really like to make it more organic.
I mean, I know,
like, a conversation.
I know if Will Ferrell, like, he started out being on screen, and I guess he occasionally still is on screen on some stuff, but he's more of a voice actor now. So I do want to know about that transition and how he stepped into that line of field. You know, because it's like, it is kind of a big deal to like voice cartoons.
See, I almost feel like sometimes, like when organizing, like just how the conversation will flow, even if you get a chance, sometimes for me, when I've moderated stuff and I have like this big plan going into it, I'm like, we're gonna start like this, and then like at the last minute I just push out. I'm just like, all right, let's just take questions.
I mean, I know I want to actually, you know, pee out. Like, I'm like, why should I censor myself? I don't want to say that word though. But I don't want to, like, you know, I will kind of like, I guess, I don't want to call that, you know, backing out, because like, it's just, I feel like the audience, especially if it's a Q&A, you can't just like steal all that time. I feel
but
like
you have to gauge the audience.
I know, but you need to like at least do questions like if you have an hour long panel, like I'd say
that's a lot of time. No,
I know, but I'd say like at least like you need to spend like at least maybe minimal 20 minutes with some audience questions at the end.
Here's what I do a lot of times. You just gauge, like, all right, the mic is out there. Anyone of you have got questions, you know, it's a good time.
Well, sometimes they do that in the beginning, though. If you have questions, line up.
That's what I'm saying. But like at New York, I've seen people line up there
immediately,
and then they would still talk for like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Because really, like, you also have to gauge. I ask the people, like, hey, is there anything you want to promote? Is there anything we should talk about ahead of time? We'll get that out of the way, so to speak. But yeah, like, I like to gauge the audience if they have a question. Like, even like, you know, you really never know. You have to just be prepared.
Well, that's where the improv part comes in on it. Like, you can be prepared and like know stats and stuff, but when it comes down to it, it's like, you don't know how they're going to feel that day. You don't know like their true personality. You don't know any of that. And like, you know, I know like from talking to Phil Lamar, I know he can like jive pretty well and just like a good back and forth. So I feel like really comfortable with him. But, you know, you don't know how, like, other people are, you know, you've never met, like, you really are,
you don't know.
You seriously are having your first ever conversation with them.
Live, and you gotta throw it out there.
Exactly.
Or you can just, like, really ditch out real fast and be like, okay, nice to meet you, let's take questions. Because literally, like...
Well, I think I do want to take questions, like, at least for the last, minimum half hour to 20 minutes, half of it, because, like...
You can do a back and forth. I did a back and forth, where you do one for you, and then we'll... It's like, I feel like what I've done... has take a question and then they'll answer the question and I feed off of that. Yeah. You know, it's like, so your favorite color, like, so I'd like to know what your favorite color is. And then the person would ask, I like blue. And then you come in like, yeah, blue is a good color. And then you just have a conversation off of that. Sometimes if your mind, this happened to me too, when my mind just like blanks out towards what am I going to ask next? Just go to a question.
Well, I definitely don't want to do the fan like typical questions because like I said earlier about that one that's like, do you guys hang out together? Like, I mean, I know, like I said, I know that that's like the fantasy and everyone wants everybody to like still be going.
Actually, I
don't really like that
actually,
question.
I didn't ask that. I didn't say do you guys hang out? I asked, where did you hang out?
But I don't really love that question.
But you have an hour, and you really don't know what you're going to say. Sometimes you just got to say
stuff. Who knows? It might just come out because I've been thinking about it. But, like, another thing is that a lot of fans, like, I remember I did not attend this, but I guess it was last year you did the Allison Mack panel, and I listened to the audio afterwards. And you know, not to rip on this fan, but one fan asked, like, if she enjoyed kissing, like, Tom Welling versus, like, another guy.
I had to handle that, too. I had to handle that. Let me answer this for you.
But it's...
Sometimes you got to pull the rug.
I mean, but I know that it's, like, the fan's fantasy, because it's like, oh, she's kissing, like,
see, that's
Superman,
the thing. That's
and,
the
like,
thing
which she's a better kisser.
Well, that's the
like,
challenge of being a good moderator. You actually got to gauge that.
But those
like,
are the fan questions.
Well, you got to protect your guests, too.
I know.
That's the thing. So you got to protect the guests. See, that's... For some reason, I'm nervous about... protecting my guest. I'm nervous about protecting Summer.
I'm talking about taking a fan question. I'm all about like letting their energy like come into the conversation. But then it's also like a lot of questions are like, can I have a hug? And it's like stuff like that. Like at New York Comic Con every year, it's always like, can I have a hug? And I'm like, dude, that's not even a question. Like, I know that you want to be close to these people. I know you want to get touch points and like touch them and all. But like, it's like we are here for a conversation.
But see, that's
you know,
the thing.
I want good questions.
But here's the thing: is that you got to be able to gauge that. Like, you want a hug? Like, you actually got to like, you got that's see,
see
to
but
me.
But then when the hug question though, that's kind of like really up to the guest at that
no,
point.
No, but here's the thing: they have to still go through you. You're still in control. See, they can go like. Like, can I have a hug? And then, but you're still in control of that. You can actually say, like, you know, like, you can control, like, we're not going to do any hugs right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because that takes away. Because no matter what, they're going to look to you as a moderator to be the one that's, you're in between them. They can't run up there.
I'm definitely going to do a thing that's like, hey, sorry, but no hugs right now. Do you want to like do you have any questions for the conversation?
I mean, you can like, say it like that or you can say it in a fun way. It's like, we're not doing hugs today. Come on. You know what I mean?
No free hugs.
I feel like whatever organic, because it still has to be fun and people will get it if it's like a joke.
Yeah.
I don't know, but I'm really nervous about the, you know, what type of people am I going to have at the Summer Glau panel? You know what I mean? I'm afraid of that because she's sort of a hottie too.
But you know what?
I've seen the comments people are making, and I'm like,
but you,
I got
yeah.
prepared for that. I gotta be tough.
Yeah, because also some of them, like I know one year, I don't want to disclose names, but you know, there was stalker stuff going on.
And that's,
so,
that's
like,
just the thing with today's society, too. You know, anything with attractive people, men and female, yeah, you're going to have that. And us.
But that's kind of actually sad, though, that they, I'm not saying that they should be able to, like, walk around the convention, like, free flowing. Of course, they're going to have people coming up to them.
And of course they should, because these are money making people.
Exactly. So, but I just don't like when it goes over the boundary. You know, it's one thing to, like, meet them in their booth and they're there to say hi for that reason. But when you start, like, lurking around, like, hallways you shouldn't be in, or, like, waiting for them outside a bathroom or something. I don't know. Like, it's just, it's a little much, you know? It's, yeah. It's like, dude, you can meet them in their space where they have special signing autograph times. And that's the proper way to, like, meet these people, not just following them around, like, well, stalking, you know?
You know what's crucial, what's crazy about, like, I guess we both went through this before, is that, like, when you meet the guests, you got to meet them behind, mm-hmm. behind, like, the doors. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, that's also a very, it's actually a very cinematic and not awkward, cinematic, but nerve-wracking experience, because to me, how it was with everyone else, especially with like Allison, well, actually Allison Mack's experience was different because mm-hmm. I came to her. Well, that, we already know that story. Go look it up from last year's, but you have to watch them as they walk towards you in this long pathway behind the stage, mm-hmm. either that or they're already behind it. I remember when I saw it was Seth Rollins and Natalya. I think they were already there when I went back, but I didn't have a moment to like, oh man, they're walking 50 feet to get to me.
They're walking towards me. Yeah, I mean, I'm not super nervous, but I just, like I said, I want it to be a good show, and I want the energy to be there, and I want people to, like, I seriously want, when the panel ends, I want people to be like, aww. Like, I'm gonna be like, sorry, we're out of time, and then everyone's like, aww. You know, like yeah. that type of reaction. So, yeah, I mean, and even the other side of the table, Lessons from Creators, like, we only have 45 minutes for that panel. So, like, it sounds like a lot, but it's like, that thing's going to swing by super fast.
Yeah.
And so, like, a lot of information to get into that. And
I think we're just going to shoot right from the hip. There's no one going to be hugging each other in that one.
No.
You know what I mean?
I hope not, actually. I mean, I don't know. Like, I don't want to, like, I don't know. I don't know if I want to hug people. Like, I'm not, you know, sorry, like, Bailey fans, but I'm just not really, like, I'm an occasional hugger.
Not a hugger.
But I'm not, like, a super hugger with strangers. And I'm not trying to, like, I'm all about, like, meeting fans and all that.
Yeah.
But I don't know about, like, because there are some guys out there that I've met in my life that want a hug just so they can, like, feel up the girls, you know? And I'm like.
And that's exactly what hugs are for.
But I don't know. I mean, it's just not appropriate sometimes. Like, there are times that, you know, might deserve a hug. I don't really know what they are specifically, but there are some times where, like, people need a hug. And there's other times when it's like, I don't really know you. Why am I hugging you? You know, like, yeah. like, so I'd rather have a handshake, I guess. But, yeah, I mean, I guess whatever makes people happy, but yeah, always at New York, people always ask for hugs and stuff, but I'm not a big fan of that, but I understand that, you know, people just want any piece of celebrity or any piece of, like,
do you think that's gonna
person be that they really enjoy, you know, they want that.
Do you think that's going to be a thing in this year's Awesome Con panels, like hugs? Because I don't know.
It might be, like I said, it's always playing an audible with those fan questions.
Well, I'm not part of any of the panels involving, maybe Jeremy London. Maybe Jeremy London's going to have some hugs. He was a heartthrob back
then. You know what?
Then.
Even if you say, like, let's say if you say, like, sorry, no free hugs today, and you're just, like, playing around, you know? But what if, like, the person is like, okay, you know, it's okay. Come on up here.
Yeah.
You know, so then they might even call an audible against you.
They called an audible, and then you just work with that.
Yeah, and you just got to go with it. So, like, you know, they might want to be, like, that superhero to someone, and, you know, why should I deny that hug, you know?
Yeah.
Like, so I'm, you know, and then I'll be like, okay, now you can do it, you know, like, I, you know what I mean, like, but you know, I don't want people, like, obviously rushing the stage or anything, so
yeah.
It's like, you just have to be respectful, but I can see, like, that happening. Even if you dismiss the hug, then, like, they'll be like, it's okay, I'll do a hug, but then everyone's gonna want a hug, then
yeah.
I'll be like, okay,
it
second,
opens a floodgate.
I'll be like, second question, can I have a hug, you know, like, it's just gonna be like, I'm like, dude, is this panel all about just hugging them? Like,
then you're gonna have, you know, to call that. You're gonna have to, like, you know, like, cut them off.
But that's how it always is.
We're cutting off the hugs. Sorry, that might potentially happen on you with the Will Fredo one.
So many hugs.
Like, Will, can I just get a hug? I really love you, and as Ron Stoppable, can I get a hug?
That'd be funny. I mean, he is pretty cool as Ron Stoppable. They want a hug from the official We're Unstoppable. I don't know about you, but I wish I had like a six pack at this point so I could have dressed like Kim Possible. That would be cool.
I've seen some good Kim Possible cosplays.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know how long it takes to get a six pack. Can I do it in like 5 days?
No.
Oh, what if I work out like straight up all the time? Is it possible?
Sure, just constantly doing sit-ups.
Can I get like
the six pack also has the diet too? You can get a two pack. Tupac.
Can I get a two pack in time?
You get a two pack Shakur. Yeah. Two pack Shakur.
Can I get that in like 2 days?
You gotta just constantly be doing sit-ups and planking.
Oh shoot. Okay, so like planking for like the next 5 nights.
Yeah.
Shoot.
But yeah, I would say that I'm pretty. I'm anxious. Because at the same time, I'm just like, all right, once it's done, because it's still like a lot of
but all these work things we can't it. Think about because we don't know how any of it's going to play out.
Yeah, that's the like, greatest part.
It's straight up improv.
As far as I know, Summer is going to go in hating me. She's like, maybe she doesn't like people with long hair. You know, I don't know.
Oh, gosh. No, I think most
all these
them,
people are just going
to
hate me.
No, they don't. They go in there like wanting to be pumped and make the audience happy. That's what they're there for.
I hope so.
I mean, why would you go into that with a nasty attitude? You wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't even be there if you didn't want to meet the fans.
See, I never know, man. That's the thing. It's like, that's why I'd like it to be, but I never know until I get there. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's true.
They could, I mean, you go into these conventions wanting, like us, you want to make some bank, but hopefully also they really love interacting with the people too. It's a win-win. I like making bank and interacting
I feel
with
like
people.
As long as they... you know, signed up for, like, you know, I'm pretty much sure that, like, they asked them, hey, do you want to do a Q&A?
This is like,
you know, so they get permission.
And this is the first time all these guests, the majority of these guests have been here.
Maybe that's part of the stipulation.
Except for Phil Amar is a veteran of AwesomeCon.
He's been there every year.
Yeah. It's great.
He is pretty cool. I feel like, dude, he's straight up. He's straight up awesome.
He is an OG.
He's OG.
OG.
He's a
straight up G.
He's a original AC, original AwesomeCon.
Yeah, he's original AwesomeCon.
OAC. We're original AwesomeCon too.
Yeah.
We're
how do you want to handle
before AwesomeCon?
So how do you want to handle that? How do you want to handle the Phil Amar show?
I say we just jive with him.
Just jive with him.
And then I don't think we've ever actually took audience questions during our podcast, have we?
We did. We did with Amber, remember?
Okay. Maybe at the end we'll
we've
do
done
some.
All we've taken questions at all of them.
Oh, okay. That's right. That's right. Now I'm like, I think we can jive with him at first and then do some audience questions.
I'd like to just like maybe make an activity.
Wait, like a crossword puzzle?
We should do something where we improv a scene.
Oh gosh.
He's from the Groundlings, right?
Is he?
Isn't he?
I don't know.
I'm trying to remember. He's from
Mad
TV.
Though. I don't know if he's from Groundlings. That would be interesting.
To find out.
I mean, I wouldn't ask him that because then it would sounds like I didn't do any research. Hey, were you in the Groundlings?
Or you ask him, what is, so...
What's your background?
What's your background?
Let me do a background
check.
Let
me know what your background is. No, it's like, to me, not what your background is.
Like,
tell me, so what was the beginning? Like, when did you know you wanted to get into improv and acting? How did that bite first happen? You know?
Yes,
then you just build off of
that. That's what I meant.
At least to me, that's how I think about it. I don't know. I'm probably going to screw up those questions, too.
But, dude, Mad TV was so great when I was younger. Like, I just remember, like, always having a good time watching that.
It's like, did you ever feel like there was a time when Mad TV crossed the line? Have you ever crossed the line? Were you ever a thug? Or
Oh, God. No, I'm an OAC.
Did you come from the streets, Phil? Phil, you come from the streets? You named Phil? He's from Harvard, though, didn't he? He graduated from Harvard?
He's a smart dude.
Didn't he graduate from Harvard?
See, I don't know all these details. I don't have his life memorized. That's what we're going to find out.
See, one of us can play good cop, bad cop. Like, Joe doesn't know anything about you. So we're going to begin at the beginning.
You know
I will take
more
a bullet.
That.
I got to take a bullet. Sometimes you got to
no,
take a bullet
like
for that.
I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I don't want to treat you like you don't know anything. Because you actually know him, so...
But I'd like for that. I'm always for sacrificing
myself.
See,
I don't like go online and be like, what school did he go to? What this did he go to? Like, I just want to have a conversation because I don't know about you, but I don't meet somebody and within like 10 minutes, I'm like, so what school did you go to? It's not like a job interview, you know? So like, I just want to have a good conversation that people are craving.
So maybe that's something I should do with Summer where I just go in and be like, hi, I don't know. Take a question.
No. you gotta talk to her for like at least the first 15 minutes.
We'll talk to her for at least the first 20 and then talk about tacos.
Yeah.
That'll be the key.
Dude, if you
the
end goal up is talking the, about tacos,
the goal
then
is
there
to
you
talk,
go.
Is to talk to Summer about tacos.
Does she love tacos?
That is the goal.
Tacos?
I don't know, maybe.
What if she like doesn't love tacos?
She's from Texas.
But what if she doesn't?
I don't know, but we'll get to the bottom of it.
Where in Texas? Because Texas is a pretty big state.
San Antonio.
Okay. That's a nice city. They have the Riverwalk.
Yeah. We're like, well, they got the Riverwalk. What else they got in San Antonio?
They got a lot of fun stuff.
They got the Riverwalk. Jeremy London.
Lots of colorful atmosphere.
Jeremy London. How's it going, Jeremy London? Jeremy London, you're in Party of Five. You're also in Seventh Heaven. How come all these numbers? What's with all these numbers, man? Mallrats had two people.
Mallrats has the number 11 in it.
It's true. Does it?
Yeah.
For what?
The LL.
Yes, that's right.
I think you should mention that and do a conspiracy about it. Conspiracy. Be like, why are all these numbers? What do they mean?
Jeremy London!
I figured this out.
Jeremy London, I have your haircut.
You do?
I don't know.
I don't even know what he looks like. Is that bad?
He's on the cover of Mallrats. Probably looks exactly like that.
I'll have to look him up because I like legit have seen Mallrats, but I don't know what he currently looks like.
I love Mallrats and Seventh Heaven and Party of Five. I guess I know. I've barely watched either one of those.
But you will have to get into that.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
What's your favorite episode?
See that?
Tell me about your favorite episode. See, that's not mine, so it sucks.
You know, like when people get really detailed, they're like, yes, in season five, this happened.
What sucks, though, is sometimes when your mind blanks out, you go to those are like the easy go to. Like, so what's your favorite shoes?
Shoes? What are you going to pull
out? What's your favorite scene? What's your favorite scene? What was your favorite scene? Do you have any backstage stories? Like, these are all, like, the press junket questions.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I'm sure they're so used to that.
Press junket questions. I'm trying not to make it press junket.
Exactly.
I want to make it personable. Personable.
But then you never know. You can kind of pick, like, what your first question may be, but you don't really know, like, where the conversation leads. Like, if it goes to tacos, then you're, like, immediately talking about tacos.
Well, that's the thing is, like, you gotta get to know them a little behind the scenes. You have at least 5 minutes. With them.
Sometimes
they just
come right in.
No, but you know, that's really, I think it's really cool. So you get that time with them in the back to like, to gauge, hey, what do you want to do? What do you guys want to do today?
Yeah, yeah.
That's the cool part. What do you guys want to do? I don't know. Let's play it loose. It's like, I have this idea. We can play a scene. No, I don't feel like playing a scene. Who knows?
I feel like they don't, I don't know.
Who knows, man? Who knows? I would like to, if I was doing a Q&A, I want to just go nuts.
Just go crazy.
Just go crazy. I want to, it's a stage. It's still a stage.
It is.
And there you go.
And I'm sure they view it like that, too. They're like, time to perform.
That's right.
1 hour.
And there you go.
But I can be me.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, we'll tune in again. Second part of this week. We're going to keep on this conversation about AwesomeCon. Because we need to. We need to. We miss talking to you guys. We miss talking to you guys. Right? 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 Right?
We miss
right?
you.
Right? Check out my work at joecarbio.com. GoStray.tumblr, one-shots.com, mondaymistress.com. This show is brought to you by Stray Productions. Check out Carolyn's work, curls-studio.com. Put a slash on it, put curls, and you have her comic strip. CarolynBolewski.com. I'm a Stray J on social media. She's Karen Bolewski on social media. This show can be seen. CarolynJoeShow.com, iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Hey, my name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Let them know, Carolyn.
You're bona fide.